The following is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of Corus Entertainment.
This is Hi-Fi Radio with Wolfgang Klein and Jack Hardim. Toronto's news, today's talk, 640 Toronto.
Welcome to the weekend, my friends. Thank you for spending some time with us. I am Wolfgang Klein, portfolio manager, here with Jack Hartle, my partner and portfolio manager as well. And as the good book says, it is better to give than receive. This show is about giving. Jack and I try to give you great ideas to help you become wealthy people each and every Saturday here on AM 640 Toronto. And it is that time of the year. It's getting cold, isn't it? It's getting damp. It is damp. But even plus six is damp in Toronto, Lake Ontario, and you just feel it in your bones, or I'm getting old, or a combination thereof. And yes, just the other night with that freezing rain, my wife and I, Kathleen, said how lucky we are to have a nice warm house to get cozy in. But we all say to ourselves, could you imagine living on the street tonight? Yeah, that was this week. An awful, awful time to spend on the streets of Toronto. I am going to say I'm hoping it's going to be really cold and dreary and damp and wet and difficult next week, just for self-interest purpose, as our CEO of Canaccord, Stuart Raftus, is going to be sleeping on the streets, taking away the baton from me, finally, supporting an amazing cause. Mark Austin, executive director at Covenant House, is going to spend a little bit of time with us prior to us getting Stuart on the show. Mark basically runs Covenant House, a very noble profession you have, Mark. Thank you for spending some time with Jack and I. So let's get right down to it. Covenant House annual sleepout taking place, what is it, next Thursday?
That's right, Wolfgang. It's next Thursday, November 16th, and We'll have about 80 people sleeping out to raise funds to support youth experiencing homelessness in our city.
Well, it's a very, very noble cause. I, prior to the show, I went and got myself a filet of fish, went into McDonald's on Yonge Street, and there was a homeless person passed out at a little round table by himself, of course, dreary clothes, empty Raptor in front of him, and just trying to find a bit of shelter from the street. Oh, there's a lot of suffering going on. And the mantra that I've been sharing in the office comes from a very, very good market strategist, Byron Wien. And his line is, if you're going to engage in charity, try to reduce pain rather than increase pleasure. When you think about that, I like it. You know, we can donate our time to good, positive, fun things, make people feel good, which is great. But really, reducing pain, I think, has a greater impact on all of us, especially those suffering from such pain. So you've raised about $800,000 so far. You need about $1.2 million to get to your goal. And again, these are numbers that you sort of make up, but the truth be told, it costs an awful lot of money to do the work that you do here in Toronto. And going to your website, which is publicly disclosed, it's about, what, a $35 million operating budget Covenant House has?
Yeah, actually, it's a little more than that now. But as you point out, Covenant House is the largest agency in Canada focused on youth homelessness and trafficking. And we serve over 2,000 young people, discrete different young people every year. And this winter, the demand is just way up. Earlier this year, the City of Toronto declared homelessness an emergency in our city. And Covenant House Toronto actually is just now, within the next few days, going to be opening 30 additional beds for young people who have nowhere else to go. So there's big demand, and we are wholly dependent on community support. 75% of the revenue of Covenant House in Toronto comes from donors. So events like the executive sleepout are critical for us to do the work that we do. I'm so grateful that you give us a bit of a platform here to talk about.
No, it is my duty. You're making me cry, buddy. I always do when you talk about these numbers. It's just heart-wrenching stuff. And you use the phrase youth trafficking. Jack, you told me an amazing story coming down here about the Toronto Police Department setting up a sting operation. Please share that with us. It's very powerful.
Yeah, it's scary out there, Wolf. And I do coach with a police officer up in York Region. He was just talking about how easy it is for them to catch people online that are, I'm going to say, luring teens and youth. And they just had a sting operation that was very successful. And it's just scary how...
What do they do?
They actually set up in hotels. They set up online. And then I'm going to say lure these... I don't want to say traffickers, but
creeps. How about creeps?
I think
that's a good word.
Yeah, but it's astounding how successful they are, and they can get guys online within like half an hour. It's scary.
You have young kids. I have young kids, Jack. Could you imagine? No.
Absolutely.
It's tough. Yeah, it's tough, Mark. Mark, let's talk a little bit more about Covenant House. How many people do you service on a daily or annual basis?
Well, on an annual basis, it's over 2,000 different youth. But on a daily basis, at our main site, we would have 300 to 400 young people, and it's not surprising when you think about homeless numbers in Toronto. Now we've got 10,000 people roughly every night who are absolutely homeless. So they're in the shelter system, probably more on the streets. And about 10 to 15% of those people are young people, youth, often actually under 16, but, under 24.
What's the youngest you've come across?
Sorry?
What's the youngest homeless person that your organization has come across?
Well, we do, in some programs, support people as young as 14. But I'll give you a statistic here quickly. When research work has been done and they've asked people experiencing homelessness, when did you first experience homelessness? By far, the biggest category was people from 14 to 24. So this is when homelessness starts for many people. As a very young person, often younger than 16. And the key to really shifting the dynamic of people falling into chronic homelessness and being homeless off and on for decades is to resolve the problems when somebody is young. And that's what Covenant House endeavors to do.
Yeah, no, of course, catch them early and help them, get back onto their feet. And your success rate is excellent. But unfortunately, when it comes to this subject matter, you're unable to solve all the problems and all of people's problems. And so your work, unfortunately, is never done. That's why this event that you're doing is so important that we support them. Look, the show's about money, but when you give, you get. We'll start with just making a straight cash donation. For the most of us, if you donate a significant amount, I think it's over, call it $300 or $500 on that. If you donate a significant amount of money and you're in a reasonable tax bracket, which most of us are in Canada, you'll almost get half of it back, which you can then donate the next year and get half back again and have some perpetual giving taking place. But I have a better idea for you. Again, if you've been paying attention to Hi-Fi Radio, it's a show about making money and building wealth. The way we manage money, there's many different ways of doing it, but I like to own stuff that's going up and get out of stuff that's going down. And I like to simplify. If I look at charts, people can analyze charts with unbalanced volume and spikes and gaps and Bollinger Bands and moving averages. But I like to truly dumb it down. So, look, if I were to take a child and give them a crayon and they were to put an arrow on this chart, direction they think it's going, chances are I think they're going to be right. In other words, they look at Microsoft, they'll put an up arrow. And if they look at a company like Canadian Bank, all of them, they'd put down arrows on them. And they're probably right until, of course, trend changes. My point is, if you have some big winners and if you don't, you have the wrong money manager. Our clients all have some big winners on their books. And so I'm encouraging them, give away a little bit of your winner. Why? Because number one, you will not have to pay the capital gains tax. So it's a fabulous way of increasing your ability to support a cause. And if you have a big enough gain, you're actually out-of-pocket expense because you're going to get a tax benefit. It can actually be net positive, not net negative, if you can go through the math properly. So again, we strongly encourage you to donate stock. And while I gave away some Microsoft stock to Covenant House, nice big trade up on it. And it's my duty to support it. And
or City Edge, I'll say. The event next Thursday is taking place. Any big flashy, shall I say,
celebrities that are going to be there?
Yeah, aside from our very own Stuart Raftus.
We're hoping to have a few MLSE types around, but to be determined.
Is Coffey going to be there? He's usually there, but he wasn't there, I think, last year or 2 years ago, maybe because of COVID.
Yes, Paul Coffey was there the first year I actually slept out. So yeah. I'm not sure if he's going to make it this year.
And I slept with him, obviously.
and Pinball. Pinball was a big celebrity. That was pretty exciting.
Lovely. He's a great guy. Is Pinball going to support you this year?
Pinball's in demand everywhere.
Yeah, of course. Well, he's a Toronto and Canadian icon. He's a wonderful, wonderful ambassador. And obviously, I'm sure that you'll be more than happy to take a few extra sleepers if need be. If you're an executive out there, contact Covenant House. Get engaged. Get involved. Feel it.
Absolutely. If you want to sleep out and fundraise, or indeed you just want to support one of our folks who are sleeping out, there's almost 80 of us. You can find that on our website. And I would say quickly, Wolfgang, that many people who do sleep out, it's a very profound experience for them, and it connects them on a really personal level to the work that we do, because you spend 7-8 hours on some cold concrete, and you have to have time to reflect on really how terrible homelessness is. So I would challenge people to think about that.
Indeed. Mark, I can't thank you enough for the work that you do for this great city of ours. And friends, please support the cause. And again, there's a lot of great causes. So just get engaged in one of them. And Jack and I are going to help you have more money anyway. So it's all good. We're going to get Stuart Raftus on the air. And he's going to talk about his upcoming experience. And he's a beautiful person, a Maritimer. They have so much heart. And that's why he's doing it, because he gets it. Quick break. Pay for the show. Get back to Hi-Fi Radio with Jack Hartle and myself. We're both portfolio managers. We are here to help you have more money. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Hi-Fi Radio in a moment on 640 Toronto. You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of Corus Entertainment.
Gonna take a freight train down at the station, Lord. I don't care where it goes. Gonna climb a mountain, the highest mountain. A jump off, nobody gonna know. Can't you see?
Welcome back. Oh, I like the part where he's about to move some mountains and some big mountains. Yeah, my friend Stuart Raftus, he's also our CEO, and I'm so privileged I don't have to call him my boss. I love that. Other people do, and I don't. Nope, because we're partners, right, Stuart?
We are indeed.
We're partners. We are partners, and the most important partner I have in my life is my client base. They're the boss. The customer is the boss. Indeed. Stuart Raftus, lovely, lovely man. I've worked with him now for almost 10 years, I'm going to say, and we became very, very good friends, and he's very supportive of helping me help our clients, and we were able to have a lot of fun on Bay Street. I was playing The Clash yesterday, and people were saying, The Clash, wow, Joe Strummer and Bay Street just seem so juxtaposed. Actually, from a guy from CFRB, Jim Richards, mentioned that on my Facebook page, and I said, yeah, they are juxtaposed, and shouldn't life be that way? And, you know, what's juxtaposed is the wealth and the money and the building and the cranes and the activity in the city, the restaurants, the prices, incredible, juxtaposed against abject poverty. At many levels. And it just rips my heart out when I see people sleeping on the streets in Toronto. And it's getting worse and worse, as we all know. And I'm born and bred in this town. This is my town. And it's a changing town. And it's, many things are getting better, but the homelessness is getting worse. And so I've been supporting Covenant House for many years. My parents were supporters of Covenant House. And I support a number of causes in Toronto. Red Door Shelter, the Scott Mission. We've had multiple charities on this show, Jack. We almost have a charity on once a month, because I think it's a big, big part of our responsibility as we help you build wealth on this show, giving you great investment ideas and processes to help you build wealth. It's our responsibility to give some money back. And the good thing is the government helps you on that front because they will basically refund you about 50% of your donation. And Covenant House, of course, with their annual executive sleep out. One of our clients first did it. A lovely lady, and I was in awe of her, Jules Clyde, and I was in awe of her, and then she challenged me the next year to do it, and she's tougher than I am, so I couldn't say no, and so I said, fine, I'm in, and I did it for, I guess, 4 years.
You went over the top with it, Wolf. You were the executive sleepout of the year, I think, at least 1 year, maybe
Last year, and that was the number one fundraiser.
Large.
Yeah, I think I raised $88,000, thanks to you, and my good friend Stuart. You were very generous, supporting our sleepout, my sleepout. Jack gave me his military
advice. I'm going to say advice. You got to
get off
the ground. Well, if you're going to sleep, give yourself a little cushion there, buddy.
Give me that little yoga mat of yours. That helped. But then people said, that's for Bowdoin. No, just a piece of cardboard. I've seen people living on the street in little, tent campments.
Take the resources that are available.
I see mattresses absolutely all over the place. Yeah. Anyways, Stuart Raftus, our chief executive officer, said, Wolf, I think that's great that you do that each and every year. And I've always thought about doing it. I said, stop thinking, start doing. And well, this year he's taking the baton from me. Thank you. Thanks, Stuart. And I'm going to sleep on the street. I hope it's going to be cold, buddy. Oh, you can handle it.
I have a feeling it's going to be very cold.
Yeah. Well, it's taking place next Thursday. How are you feeling?
Nervous.
Don't be.
Anxious.
Just raise some money, will you? You got to get your numbers up, Stuart. You got to raise more money than me. I know you can. You're better looking than I am.
Wolf, we're going to try. You're my inspiration. I sent you a note about that yesterday. Today, we've raised $39,000. Thanks to you in large part.
I doubled down for you, buddy.
You did.
I took your position. I doubled it for you to help you. But it's not enough. I want you over 100 grand. I know you can raise over 100 grand. Okay. You're at 40 right now, Stuart. If I can do 88, you easily over a hundo. People you know, come on. Come on. Stuart, what again... You're a very fine dressed bespoke man, I shall say, but you're a maritimer. And I've had many chats with you about your lovely mother, who's fascinated by the comfort of airline travel, beautiful stories. But talk to me about where you come from. And specifically, I will throw out the word powdered milk. Great story about that. Please share with the audience of who you are as a person.
Okay, well, thank you, Wolf. So, look, I grew up in Halifax, Nova Scotia, a small street called South Bland Street, which thinking back, was quite an area to grow up in. Across the street from our house was actually a coal yard, Kennard's Coal Yard, and beside that were railroad tracks, and behind the railroad tracks was a very, very large grain elevator. And so that was sort of our playground in between the coal yard, the railroad tracks, and the grain elevator. The challenges for raising a family of six children down on South Bland Street, one of the things that we used to joke about was the coal dust that would blow across the street and into our backyard when poor mom was hanging out her white... white sheets.
No.
Anyway, it was an interesting environment. It was a very small house. both my mom and dad and grandparents lived in that house along with six children, and there were 2.5 bedrooms and a bathroom. It was a fairly small house.
I always wondered, people live in one bedroom house, how do the parents actually procreate?
Well, it wasn't one bedroom.
How do they do that? Is there barter or something? What do they do? Think about it. It was
a fun neighborhood. A lot of street hockey, a lot of playing around, a lot of adventure. It's not safe, but your imagination ran wild running down the railroad track.
Did your family have a car?
No, not a car. Not on South Bland Street.
Did you have a pager?
We did not have
Did you have a television set?
We did have.
Did you have cable TV?
No cable TV.
No cable TV. No car. I love it.
There were two channels.
And this was 1980, for goodness sakes.
No, it was a little bit further back than that. It was a fun, exciting, adventurous youth growing up in that environment, and luckily none of us got hurt. Playing around on the railroad tracks and the grain elevators. I remember being quite young, and I was absolutely convinced that on the other side of this grain elevator, I don't know how high a grain elevator is, it's probably you know, 20, 30 stories high, something like that. But and it's just a cement facade, yeah. right? Yeah. You know what a grain elevator looks like. I was absolutely convinced that on the other side of the grain elevator was China. That's what I thought was on the other side. I think, so that was growing up on South Bland Street in Halifax.
But then you went off to university. Talk mm-hmm. to you a little bit about that, because as far as I'm concerned, you're almost self-educated in many ways. Again, very incredible where you went and what you studied.
Yeah, so I, growing up in Halifax, St. Agnes School, St. Patrick's School, on to St. Mary's University, which was a great opportunity for me. In between my third and fourth year, I became adventurous and decided I'd try to make my way over to France and go to school in France. So I found a way to get a student visa in Avignon, and went over, started school there, and the culture shock was a little bit too much for me, and I had this thought that maybe I should go to Paris, and that'll be a bigger city, and it'll be a little more like North America. So I jumped on the train, went to Paris and got myself into the Sorbonne, but I had no money, and I really didn't have any way of paying for all this. So I went to the Canadian Embassy, opened up the book of potential employment opportunities in Paris, and there were lots of them, but they were all the same job. You had to be an au pair.
What is an au pair?
A nanny.
So such a great, they're so French of them to give it such a cool name. It's an au pair. I love it.
So
the sommelier, an au pair. I love it.
So I ended up being.
And you spoke no French, correct?
No French.
Being a Maritimer?
No. So I ended up being an au pair.
But to get educated mm-hmm. in a foreign country is one thing, but with a foreign language. And again, you're not talking about elementary school. You're speaking at a university level. It's remarkable.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Just did it for 1 year. Didn't do the au pair job for the full year, but I did that for about 3 months until I got a job in a restaurant. It was fun. It was a lot of fun going to university in Paris. And then I came back to Halifax and finished up my degree at St.
You were a paper boy as well once as a kid, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
As was I. Jack, were you ever a paper boy?
I was not a paper boy.
No. And of course, our marketing crew behind us don't even know what we're talking about. Times have changed, man. But it's okay. It's okay. The world's going mad, some say, but I'm still having fun. Stuart, then let's talk about your foray into, shall we say, personal finance, wealth management. Your first job was at Merrill Lynch?
Yeah, I started with Merrill Lynch right out of university as a financial consultant, which, you know, what would be referred to today as an investment advisor, helping individuals invest their money in the stock market primarily.
What year was that?
That was 1985.
85, wow. And so you witnessed the 87 crash?
I did.
What was that like?
That was really quite interesting. My biggest memory of that was I remember our Quotron machines only had two digits. So at one point of the day, the market was down sort of 45 points or something like that. And someone was going, well, the market's down 45 points. And the guy sitting next to him said, no, it's actually down 345 points.
Oh, the machine couldn't. That's like a Y2K problem.
Yeah,
turn the clock?
No,
the Quotron machine. Who bought that company? Did Thompson end up buying them or
I'm
Bloomberg?
Not, I'm
or
not sure.
Just out of business?
I'm not sure, but I know at the end of the day, the market ended up down 508 points, which just seemed at the time.
You're talking about the Dow? Was it the Dow?
The Dow Jones.
And the Dow at that time was 1,000. Would it have been about 1,000 that day? It was down 35%, I guess, on the in the crash.
I want to say it fell up. Memory was 2,200 yeah. to 1,700.
Yeah. It got through 1,000 in 1982. That's right. It couldn't get through 1,000 points for about 10 years. Mm-hmm. And finally in 82, it got through 1,000 points, mm-hmm. and away it went. Again, I've been on Bay Street since 2001, Stuart. I used to work in this actually company right here we're broadcasting from 88 to 2001. And I made a very smart career change. Oh, yeah. People who are listening to the show right now, working in this business, say, oh, yeah, Wolf, you made a smart career change. All right. Get to hang out with a guy like you, Stu. It's a lot of fun. Stuart Raftus, Chief Executive Officer, Canaccord Genuity Corp, a good friend of mine. He's our leader. And so much so that he is going to sleep on the streets of Toronto with a piece of cardboard, corrugated, my friend, it's corrugated, and it's about an eighth of an inch thick. But they're going to supply it, and if you get there early, and I think they have 100 pieces, I think there's 80 sleepers, so you might be able to take two pieces. You are allowed two if there's extra, Stuart. They're going to take good care of you. You're going to be okay.
I'm looking forward
to it. You're going to be okay. Please, friends, if you like what we're talking about, you want to support the cause, go to the Covenant House website, look up Stuart Raftus, and show them some love. I already have, and I know you want to help us as well. God bless you for that. Stuart, God bless you for what you're doing. I think it's commendable. I really do.
Thank you.
A true sign of leadership. Going to take a quick break and get back to one of our strategists, Mr. Martin Roberge. He's a managing director, North American Portfolio Strategist at Canaccord. Yes, it's the Canaccord Hour right here on Hi-Fi Radio, 640 in Toronto. I'm Wolfgang Klein. Any questions, by the way, for Jack or I? WolfgangKlein.com, TheWolfOnBayStreet.com. No question too big, no question too small. We answer them all. Quick break, get right back to it. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Hi-Fi Radio in a moment on 640 Toronto. You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of Corus Entertainment.
About that. Cash. Cash money. Amazing, eh? When you go to places and they say, tap, credit card only, no cash accepted. Wow. Incredible. Now, some people don't, some places just don't want cash. I'll take it. Martin Roberge, he's our managing director, North American Portfolio Strategist at Canaccord. He's been with the company almost as long as I have. I think I probably got 6 months on you, Martin. But you and I basically started at the same time, and it's been a delight getting to know you over the last 12 years, Martin. Thank you for your friendship, I shall open with.
Hey, Wolfgang. Thanks for having me. It's nice to talk to you again today.
Yeah, my pleasure, Martin. We just had, by the way, our chief executive officer, Stuart Raftus, on the air with us. He's going to be sleeping out for Covenant House next week, Martin. So look, if you want to look good in the boss's eye, give him some money. Go on his website and give him a little donation. And, you know, you always supported my Covenant House sleep out. Well, he's actually now doing it for me. Okay. So just as an FYI. You know, it's all part of career management. This is important. Again, I've always said about money. If you want to build wealth, you need to get out of bed and go to work. And then you need to save some money and you need to invest the money and you need to repeat the process. So work, save, invest, repeat. Real simple. 25 years, you'll be in a much better financial position. And to keep your job, well, you got to play the game. And sometimes you have to give to get. So anyways, Martin, here we are in the seasonal strong period. August, September, October. Fabulous setup for a give back, seasonal give back, setting the stage for, you know, November rally into Santa Claus rally into the strength of January, February, March. I don't know. It looks pretty seasonally predictable to me. Unfortunately, I know it's never that easy. Talk to me, Martin. Where do you think we are right here, right now in the markets?
Yeah, we're probably doing the kind of the Santa Claus rally ahead of the typical late December, like January window, because we or the market received like a green light from the Federal Reserve last week. And whether or not the Fed is done hiking interest rates, there's certainly a group of investors that will be hedging that bet and taking the bet that the Fed is done. And historically, there's always a positive response. Obviously, there's always a question mark about the length of that positive response. But for now, you know, money that was on the sidelines because of fear of a monetary overkill from the Federal Reserve is being redeployed in not all areas of the market, but certainly in some areas, that's for sure.
Bank of Canada, all intents and purposes, is done raising rates for this cycle. Do you not agree?
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
U.S. Bank, perhaps one more hike.
Yeah. One more hike.
Jack, you think one more hike for the U.S. Bank?
I would have said maybe 2 weeks ago, yeah. But looking at the data that's coming out, they have paused. Bank of Canada paused. I know they don't look at what the Bank of Canada does.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say they bought themselves some time. And I think over the next month, the economic statistics are going to come out pretty weak. I think they might be done too.
Interesting. And, you know, it's amazing, you know, when they raise interest rates, the theoretical concept of a lag. You raise interest rates, it takes time to have its effect. And I just spoke with a fellow on the phone who wants to move his assets to us, Smart. And he said, the problem is I got a mortgage. It's about $400,000. It's variable rate. And he had the mortgage for about 2 years. So, you know, 2% on 400 grand is 8 grand a year in interest payments. 400 grand at, call it 6%, do you think, Jack, is $24,000 in it. So to go from 8,000 interest payment to 24,000 interest payment, when you're making just over $100,000 a year, is very, very challenging.
But the long and variable lags that you're talking about, Wolfgang, the Canadian mortgage holders that have variable rates, they've been dealing with these higher rates since the Bank of Canada started raising.
Yep.
The long and variable that you're seeing are also people that are renewing their mortgages now. So people that have been fixed at a very low rate,
correct,
call it that 2% that you're talking about.
Yeah, that's a shock.
Now they're coming to market. They're almost like in a rent control market where it's 2%. Now they're coming to market rates, which are 6% or, you know, 7%,
Frank Leo spoke about that one individual.
And that's going to be going on for the next 2 to 3 years, getting up to whatever that market rate is going to be.
Correct. So no matter what position you're in, if it's variable rate, yeah, you've been witnessing it on a rate hike basis. Every rate hike, you're feeling it. If you've been locked in, you are not feeling it until your term comes due. And a lot of people are saying, I can't afford to renew the term. Time to liquidate. Martin, you're in. Let me ask you, if I may, anecdotally, you're just outside of Montreal. What's the housing situation and homeless situation and affordability situation like in Montreal and the greater surrounding area?
Yeah, the affordability is somewhat better here in Montreal, or like the great Montreal area, because prices are not as inflated as in Toronto. Yeah. But the problem that we're dealing with, and this is an issue in Toronto as well, the great Toronto as well, is the lodging, like having the houses, like there are very few houses on the market.
You're talking supply issue.
Supply issue. We are dealing with the same issue as you guys, except the difference is that prices are probably like still 20 to 30% lower than your housing prices. So affordability is better, but you've got very little supply. And like when it comes to multi apartments, we're trying to build as much as many as we can. But you know, now it's the permits. The permits are very expensive to get, and builders need to put down a lot of cash before they put the shovel on the ground. And those costs, like the government is trying to take some of those costs. They announced some kind of a subsidy or a freeze on some costs, but still it's pretty expensive to put any shovel on the ground at this period of time.
I know builders continue to be very, very frustrated with policy and procedure and lethargy, shall I say, in the entire process to getting anything done. And yet the same government is allowing almost a million students come into the country and a million foreigners come into the country. These people need to live somewhere, and there's no new supply. I'm scratching my head. But you know something? This show's about making money. And we've got to talk about issues as well and problems, but you know, you're raising interest rates the way they have. You think that prices of real estate would fall. The reason it has not fallen is because of supply. Anyways, we're going to take a quick break, get back to the show about money, show that Jack and I put on for you. We're talking charity. We're talking how to make some money and talking tax strategy. We're covering a lot of ground, but it's all about the people. It truly is. If we can do good by you, I think we've sort of done our deed for the good Lord. Anyways, quick commercial break, pay the bills, get back to Hi-Fi Radio 640 Toronto.
Want to make more money? Stay tuned for more Hi-Fi Radio on 640 Toronto.
You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of Corus Entertainment.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains.
Sci-Fi Radio, show about money. I am Wolfgang Klein. Thank you for spending some time with us. Yeah, Covenant House Sleep Out taking place next Thursday. Our chief executive officer is going to take to some cement in the core and hopefully raise about 100 grand. He's at 40 so far. It's an important cause. I cannot stress it enough. There's a lot of great causes in Toronto. If you don't have to like Covenant House, pick another cause. Just help reduce pain. And a great quote on Instagram, you know, money doesn't solve all your problems, but boy, you can have a lot of problems without money. So yeah, money won't solve all the problems, but you can have a lot of problems without it. So you're better off to have more rather than less. You want to have some money? Work, save, invest, repeat. No quick fixes. You know, the odd person will do a quick fix, and you know, maybe Elon Musk was a quick fix. Probably not. Worked hard. But it doesn't work that way. You want a high probable chance of making it. Work, save, invest. And I don't care when you whenever I see a new person like or marketing lady Kathy are coming to Canaccord, at some point within 72 hours of meeting, I'm going to have to tell her, Kathy, make sure you save money. It's so important. And I watched a great documentary on Sylvester Stallone, and he just spoke about how fast time goes by. You'll wake up one day, my little 20-somethings out there and 30-somethings out there, and you'll wake up pretty quickly and be, you know, in your late 50s and early 60s. And I got a call from a friend from high school, Jack, and I love this guy, and I loved him in high school. And he said, well, Wolf, you know, I'm 58 now. I got to start to plan for my retirement. And I didn't have the nerve to say, dude, this is not the time to start. You should have started 25 years ago, 30 years ago. I started saving in my RSP at the age of 23, as soon as I got a first job. Actually, the irony is the job was in this very building, CFY Radio. Very first paycheck, put some money aside, bought an RSP, never looked back. I want each and every one of you to do that because you have one power. You have power in compounding your wealth. Your money can double every 7 years at a 10% rate of return. Try to think in terms of doubles and extend your time horizon. And unfortunately, guess what? You will get old. I hope you get old. If not, well, the alternative is probably not better. So I hope you get old, but if you're going to get old quick. You got to use time to your advantage, and you got to think about doubling your money. Every 7 years, your money will double. You get to 100 grand, takes time. Then you get to 200 grand. Then you get to 400 grand, 800 grand, 1.6, 3.2. Now you're talking. Let's get you a tall $3.2 million. Martin Roberge, the market is a beautiful place, but it's one where you must, I believe, have a very vigilant eye on. You cannot be a Rip Van Winkle, or you take a long sleep, you'll be fine. But things are always changing, and I put a note out to clients in the last week or so. I really see change amidst, what's the word I'm looking for? I just see a lot of change. I see change. And I see change because it looks like interest rates have peaked. And when interest rates peaked, other assets start to get some relief from the rising rate cycle, specifically real estate. So we're talking about housing, and housing prices, because of lack of supply, have not budged, even though mortgage rates have skyrocketed and people's ability to afford has been greatly diminished. But that said, prices remain sticky. Commercial real estate, and I don't care if you're talking about industrial, which was so loved, industrial REITs, telecom REITs, storage REITs, apartment REITs. Apartment REITs are even down. And office, of course, has been annihilated. These are big dividend-paying companies. A lot of these REITs in Canada, you know, Choice Properties is one of the biggest. In fact, it is the biggest, I think. Probably pays about a 4.5% dividend. Allied Properties is probably clipping you a 6% dividend. Chartwell, the senior citizens place, actually, that one looks good, but stay away from that because of litigation when the grandkids start to sue you because their 98-year-old grandmother passed away due to a bladder infection, which is yes, another story. But Martin, we call these bond surrogates. Is it time to start to do some work in them? Like we bought a couple of U.S. telecom stocks, Jack and I. We bought Verizon and AT&T, and we also bought some bonds, some government bonds at these levels. I mentioned that to you in a note this morning. So what do you think about buying interest-sensitive stuff at these levels?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I think it's a one-in-a-lifetime opportunity to build a good income portfolio. We have to remember that the spike in yields really hurt those bond proxies hard in October. You know, Wolfgang, we may go back to those like 5-ish percent bond yield levels, but if we do it, it's not going to be in a panic fashion. It's going to be slow. And I think the bond proxies can take like slowly grinding higher yields. What they cannot deal with is kind of a blow-off behavior. So I think we've seen most of the volatility out of the bond market. So now these stocks are probably trying to, like, you know, to get some traction, understanding that, as you mentioned, not only are they yielding in some cases way more than bond yields, but with the tax break, the dividend tax break that you get, you have to multiply your dividend yield by, like, I think it's 1.3. So it's very tax
efficient. Yeah.
Yeah, tax efficient.
Yeah, no, 5% interest, 5% dividend on a net tax basis is equivalent to almost a 7% interest coupon. So it is significant. Sorry, Jack wants to...
I just think Martin makes a really good point there. These bond surrogates, these interest-sensitive companies, really haven't been able to adapt to the rapidly changing interest rate environment. Mm-hmm. If rates normalize here, maybe they go down a little bit. That makes these stocks that have been repriced, because that's exactly what has happened, mm-hmm. whether it's a REIT... a lot more, all these stocks are priced a lot more efficiently than retail real estate. That's why they haven't adjusted yet.
I want to go through that. Again, the sectors that have been hit that we're talking about here would be pipeline stocks, TransCanada Pipeline, Enbridge, any utility stock, including Ontario Hydro, Fortis, AltaGas, and some of them have turned the corner. The REITs, of course, Real Estate Investment Trust, they've been affected. The telecom stocks, which were widow and orphan stocks, they've been affected because they're all big dividend paying, no growth. Therefore, like a bond, we call them bond surrogates because they're sort of like a bond, because they're safe like a bond, but they pay you a dividend instead of interest. But I want to ask you, the other darlings of Bay Street are the Canadian banks, which have been absolute dogs. Are they in the same camp? Will they benefit if rates stabilize? Because they're all trading basically at 52-week lows. That's Royal Bank, BMO, CIBC, Scotia. National even is starting to get back some of its moves. So are they going to benefit from rate stability, Martin, or are they still in the penalty box due to their loan book?
Yeah, I think they are still, unfortunately, they are still in the penalty box or sin box until we have more visibility on their loan book. But the book, like the loan loss exposure, we don't have a lot of visibility yet. Maybe it will come when these banks have their annual general meeting, AGM, in later in November. But for now, it's very opaque. CEOs are very reluctant to provide us with the real risk behind their books.
Hi-Fi Radio, it's about money. We're here for you, and we're also here for the people. We want to have some fun. We want to compound wealth, work, save, invest, time. Get started sooner rather than later. Look at Compound Tables. If you don't know what I'm talking about, call me. I'll send some to you. Look at our website. Compound Tables are very, very powerful. What happens to a dollar over a period of time at a certain interest rate? What interest rate should I use? Use 8% or 9% because that's what the stock market will do over 40 years. And then look down a table at 40 years and see how a dollar can grow over 40 years. Then you talk about 1,000 and you talk about 10,000, etc. It's what you got to do, my good friends. But we're here for you. You have a friend. It's Wolfgang Klein. It's Jack Hartle. It is Canaccord. I want to wish you a safe weekend. Think about your brethren on the street. Think about the cause. And if you have any questions about money, never hesitate to reach out to your friend, Wolfgang. We are here for you. Have a lovely weekend. Speak to you next weekend right here on 640 Toronto.
You've been listening to Hi-Fi Radio with Wolfgang Klein and Jack Harthill, portfolio managers at Canaccord Genuity Wealth Management. For questions about today's show or any questions about money, email wolfandjack@wolfgangklein.com. Hi-Fi Radio, for the love of money. Join us again next week. The preceding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of Chorus Entertainment.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.